You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Joe Zamataro, Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We've got an action-packed episode ready to go for you guys today. We'll be talking about Andre Vasilevskiy, recapping the preseason games, who was standing out in what I would say was a pretty successful week of hockey for the Lightning in this one. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
We have hockey to talk about, boys. Let's go. How you guys doing?
I'm terrific. We have hockey to talk about. I mean, enough said right there. I'm stoked. It's still preseason, but boy, I mean, it's here. It's ready.
Well, before we get into everything, I want to remind everybody, don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning, and like and subscribe right here on YouTube so you don't miss out on future episodes. Today is RBLR's third birthday, so shout out to RBLR, 3 years going and strong, exciting there. But with that said, let's get right into it. So the first thing we're going to talk about is kind of some sad news. I know, we're going to start it off with the tough one, but Andre Vasilevskiy, we found out, will be out for 8 to 10 weeks as he is dealing. He had underwent a successful microdiscectomy for a lumbar disc herniation. I know a lot of big fancy terminology words there, but basically, Vassy had surgery on his back. He is now going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks, essentially missing about 2 months of the season. Now, that's give or take, depending on how he's able to come back and how soon he's able to do that. But no Andre Vasilevskiy, which is big news because, as we know, as we've talked about many times on this show, Vasilevskiy is basically the backbone of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So,
and not having Elliott this year. I mean, you know, we've been talking about in this offseason who, you know, before the signing was going to replace him. And, you know, we're saying that, you know, they only have to win a handful of games in order for us to make it into the playoffs. So they don't really matter. Well, they're going to matter. They're going to really, really matter this season.
I mean, It's obviously a bummer, and losing a huge goaltender like that stinks. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. However, we'll get more into this too when we start talking about the preseason games. I've been impressed with some of the Lightning young goaltenders, including Jonas Johansson, who is now going to be the starter, jumping up into that role. And the good news is, listen, it's for 2 months. It luckily this happened before the start of the season, so at least there's a couple of weeks that he could have missed if this would have happened, you know, in the regular season or right before it. And I think the Lightning, I'm surprisingly calm about the whole situation. I think the Lightning are going to be okay. They still got a fantastic team in front of them, even though everybody is not high on the Lightning for whatever reason. But I think the goaltenders that we have, what we've seen for them in the preseason, I'm not overly concerned. What about you, Matt?
Jake, before any preseason games were played, and especially that Johansson performance against who was it, Carolina, were you more worried before you saw these preseason games, or were you just kind of cool?
No, I mean, listen, I was mostly cool, and I was kind of surprised that I was because I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, the Lightning have had some decent success with backup goaltenders over the years. I know they haven't had a sustained one that's been with them like consistency wise, but every time we've had a backup that needed to step up and step in, it's usually been all right. I believe it's Domingue who actually has the longest win streak record with the Lightning when Vassy was out for a little bit. So listen, different situation, different teams. This is a much older Lightning team than it used to be. But, you know, they've had success in the past before with backups. And the fact that it's only for 2 months gave me a little bit of confidence personally.
I won't lie. I'm definitely shocked that you are as calm as you are about it. You know, I think you're kind of the not overreactor here, but, you know, you wear your heart on your sleeve about this team, and, you know, we all definitely do. And I'll admit, I was, you know, hitting the panic button before any of these preseason games, but from what I saw, it wasn't anything super crazy. And again, Jonas Johansson, or Johansson, however we're going to figure out how to say it, he's had mixed reviews. A lot of people say he's a great goaltender. A lot of people say he is awful. Again, we've only seen a handful of games, a handful of preseason games from him, but after the games that we did see, I do have a new level of confidence. I'm still not, you know, saying we're going to go, you know, 25-0 in the time being Vasilevsky is out, but I'm a little more reassured now, especially, you know, with how Matt Tompkins was looking. But, you know, having Johansson come in to start the season, I mean, that's really going to be a baptism by fire right there. And if there is a silver lining to anything, I'm always going to try to be the glass half full kind of guy. At least I say I will. But at least when the season is winding down and the final stretch of the season, that workload, you know, Vasilevsky's not going to have played for 2 months. So he might not be overstressed when the end of the season and playoffs come around. That's one way to look at it. You know, coming back from an injury.
It's a lot better than this happening towards the end of the season. You're absolutely right.
Coming back from an injury is, you know, nothing to, you know, to take lightly or anything, especially a back injury like that as well. But hopefully he can, you know, come back from the surgery and this injury, you know, 100% rejuvenated and have a little bit of a workload taken off of him.
Yeah, well, I can actually speak pretty directly to this specific injury and actually even this specific surgery. I had it done about 3 years ago. I was in a pretty nice car accident and had a few herniated discs and had to have the micro discectomy to fix the herniation. And it takes you a little while to recover, but the, you know, the thought is that you get back to, you know, basically, you know, back to 100%. I'm sure that he's going to have literally every single resource available to him to help with that recovery. I remember when I first got it, the first 2 weeks were miserable because you're not supposed to sit upright. You're supposed to stay horizontal for like 2 weeks straight just to allow everything to kind of shore up and heal up. So for that entire time, you can't even really stretch. So he's going to have a little bit of downtime. And from there, it's really just going to be mostly recovery and getting back to starting to strengthen everything. I was told by my doctor that I should never lift anything heavier than 30 pounds again. That lasted all of like a couple of months before, you know, you start working out. If you can't pick up 15 pounds in each hand, you know, like, what are you more than that? What are you even doing?
Ever again? Or like, well, period?
No, that's what they recommended to prevent it from being an issue again in the future.
Oh, geez.
So with that said, with this surgery, it is somewhat of a, you know, potentially a temporary repair because you still can have it bulge again. But I'm sure that with all the resources that he's going to have at his disposal, it'll be something that he fully recovers from. And, you know, he'll be back to playing, you know, at his highest level. It's just a matter of getting that rehab, really attacking it and getting back into shape.
When you mentioned that you got yours in a car accident, I'm starting to put the tinfoil hat on. You think maybe Vasilevsky dumped that new motorcycle of his?
Oh, geez. Well, the other tinfoil hat that I've been hearing a lot is this injury is actually stemming from last season. And he tried to get through, you know, the summer or something, trying to rehab it. But, you know, with a disc issue like this, it's not really something that's easy to rehab. It doesn't work quite like that.
What it actually is the stupid Tampa Bay Lightning are trying to cheat the salary cap again. You know, cheaters.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. All right.
I've genuinely seen.
I hear
too Kane's many
available.
Of those comments.
Well, here's the thing. Even with Lightning decide to, I don't know if they're going to put Vasi on long term injured reserve. He would be eligible for that. But even if they do, there's not much they can do with it because once Vasi comes back, you have to be cap compliant again. So this is very different situation from when Kucherov went on long term injured reserve. And Cooper said that they do believe this is from something previous because he said that they gave him something to try and just kind of hold him over. He was having back issues, and then it flared up again in the or in training camp right before preseason started. So it does sound like this was something that happened before. They had a temporary fix that seemed like it was working, but unfortunately flared up again, and now he's had to have surgery. Because I think a lot of people were asking, why did he not have this surgery sooner, right after the season started? Why? And it's because they had a temporary fix, but unfortunately didn't last, obviously, as they had hoped. But Cooper also expressed that this is not the end of Vasilevskiy's season. And knowing Vasilevskiy, he's going to be back before the 8 weeks is even up, because that's the kind of workload that he has. Hopefully he does it when he's 100% healthy. He's not trying to rush anything back. But it's not the end of the season for the Lightning or for Vasilevskiy. And to go back to what you were saying, Matt, you know, I was impressed with the goaltenders. The biggest question after this news was, who's going to be the backup? Because Jonas Johansson is obviously going to be the starter for the Lightning through this about 20 game span ish. But who would the backup be? And I mean, you got Hugo Alnefelt and then Matt Tompkins are the two goaltenders we've seen early so far. Matt Tompkins has personally impressed me the most. I don't know if the Lightning will go out and try to sign somebody, or even I think JBB said it was unlikely they'd go and make a trade. And it's only been, what, two preseason games for Tompkins, but I mean, he's looked pretty decent, and it's hard to judge a guy in preseason, but I don't think I'd hate the option right now of Matt Tompkins as the backup goaltender for the Lightning.
No, I was actually going to ask you guys your opinions on that, and I'm with you, Jake. You know, last year I was pretty high on Alnefelt. I was actually, you know, vouching for him to get that backup job behind Vasilevskiy, but from what I've seen so far, Joe, you did point this out, he still is very shaky. Like, he's, you know, he's got his moments, but he doesn't have that consistency yet. And he definitely needs a little bit more time in the oven. Matt Tompkins is definitely a wild card. Like, we've seen, you know, some good games from him. Did let up 4 goals, but it was a, you know, over 40 shot game. I think it was around 45 shot game. A lot of stuff he really couldn't do.
Defense wasn't great in that game either.
It was not. So I really don't put a lot on him. He's made some big saves. He still has his warts. Like, I don't know. He had trouble with rebounds. He had, you know, a little bit of growing pains. I don't know a lot about the guy, but again, from what I've seen in preseason, he'd be the guy that I would give that backup position to. Joe?
You know, it's interesting watching Tompkins play. I really did like the way that he, you know, played in the first game, but I saw some pretty, what I thought were pretty sizable holes that I think will end up being exposed down, you know, if he were to play an extended number of games. Most notably, he's kind of like a stay-at-home goalie where he plays a little bit deeper in his crease, it seems, and he loses track of the puck at times where he won't be tracking it. He'll be in a good spot so it can still hit him, but you'll see a shot will come, it'll hit the end boards, and he would not have reacted because he isn't doing a good job of looking around his screens. It's just something I kind of picked up from the first two games that he's played. And, you know, a small sample size is so tough with, you know, with especially the goaltender position. How many times have we seen a rookie come in and get a shutout over the years just based on, you know, playing above their level, you know, playing above their true skill level? It's something completely different to be able to sustain it for more games. So with Tompkins, seeing that, you know, basically, the goals that went in on Vassy in the series against Toronto were similar type shots, right? A lot of ones where he didn't get a chance to see him. If you can't see him, you can't save him. And it looked like he had some trouble tracking the puck. But he did make some really great saves, don't get me wrong. Just trying to point out some of the, you know, some of the other issues that, you know, might end up rearing their heads eventually. And you know, to your point before, Alnefelt definitely needs to play the starting role down in Syracuse. I don't think that you pull him up for the risk of ruining him for what we have going on with the Lightning right now.
There is a possibility they could still go out and sign a goaltender and then just let him go when Vassy comes back or something like that. I don't think they will. I think we would have heard about something already if that was the decision they were going to go with. And you're right, Joe. It's a limited sample size, but it's unfortunately kind of all we have to go off of right now. It's just going to wait that be. The good news is, I don't think either whoever ends up being the backup won't play a ton of games. I mean, 20 games, he plays what, maybe 4 or 5 out of all the, I don't know how much workload Johansson can take, but you know, they won't be in for most of the games, and maybe the Lightning defense can hold it off for a bit. But I do know one thing. I do think both goaltenders were great guys that stood out in this one. Just like you can stand out by getting your new RBLR merch by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com. And the best part is for our listeners right here, we'll give you a 10% off code. All you have to do is when you go to checkout, use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. We've got awesome inspired merch from every team, Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, you name it. Be sure to head over there. Link, as always, is in the description. All right, we got the Vassy news out of the way. Let's talk about these preseason games. The Lightning played in four of them. The record right now is 3-1. I got to say, I've been enjoying the heck out of these preseason games. I don't know if it's because I was so desperate for hockey to come back, but the Lightning, I thought, have looked pretty good. You know, they struggled a little bit in that first Carolina game. The defense wasn't great, as we kind of alluded to. But other than that, there's been a lot of bright spots. Offense has looked pretty good. There's been a couple of lines that I think have played well. The goaltending, as I talked about, but it's been a fun start. What about you, Joe? I'll start with you. What have you noticed from these couple preseason games so far?
Isamont. I mean, just straight up, that guy has been everywhere, all over everything. You know, for the games that he's been playing in, I think that he was probably the most notable player that or that was standing out for me. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of people were comparing him to Yanni Gourde, but I think he actually has more offensive upside. He's a little bit calmer with the puck and you know, makes a little bit more playmaking ability, I guess I'm kind of saying, for him. It really did surprise me, and that's you know, kind of going from also from camp. You know, he came in on fire, and it's really good to see.
Like a lot of the guys were, especially the big league guys, like they were, you know, pretty rusty out of the gates, and I was as well. Like with how I watch and kind of analyze the game, like I thought I could kind of just, you know, gather all this information, not take any notes or anything. No, I'm rustier than they were, but I think I was just very excited and maybe a little overwhelmed that Lightning hockey was back, even in a preseason form, that Lightning hockey was back. So I'm definitely still giddy, even four games, you know, into the preseason, still just giddy, itching, ready to watch some real games. But I've been thoroughly impressed with some of the players. Of course, that first game against Carolina wasn't the best performance, but it wasn't, you know, a blowout or anything. It wasn't god awful. At least it wasn't a shutout. there's some of these rookies and some of these young guys have really stood out to me. I can start rattling off names, but the first one that comes to mind is Valtteri Merila. I'm gonna butcher that forever and ever. But Merila, he has really stood out to me amongst some other guys as well. But Merila has really showed that he, you know, he might belong. He might have a job in the starting lineup. Again, we're going to see how everything plays out and what these you know, opening night roster looks like. But from what I've seen from him and his playmaking ability, his skating, his speed, his grit, his IQ, again, it's not otherworldly. He's not Connor McDavid or anything, but he's, you know, he's been pretty great so far from what I've seen.
That, you know, speaking on Merila, one of my buddies was noticing him. I think he made a comment in the second period of that Predators game. He's like, man, Merila's all over the place. He's playing really, really well. Next thing you know, he puts in two goals right after that. So he was definitely showing up for that game.
I'm surprised we haven't mentioned one player. He's not a young rookie, but a guy already in the lineup that looks like he's in midseason form, and that's Anthony Cirelli. He's got two goals, one of them shorthanded. He's been really impressive, and I agree with both of you guys. There's been a lot of young rookies that, especially on the offensive side of things. Speaking of Isamont, I thought that whole line of it was Isamont, Sherry, and I can't remember who was the third guy on that line, but that whole line I thought really looked impressive. I liked what I've seen from Connor Sherry. He's one of the guys that I think is going to step up and be a big part of the Lightning this year, just kind of like Hagel was last year. Offensively, I have loved everything I've seen. I mean, even some of the guys that may not make the lineup this year, I think could have great seasons down with the crunch and be, you know, viable pieces for the Lightning moving forward. The defense is where maybe things get a little bit shaky. Also, I don't know if you guys have heard, but Bogosian apparently has a new nickname, and it's Bogosian because he's been called that multiple times on multiple different broadcasts, including the Lightning one as well. But Bogosian is his new nickname. I have to remind myself too when I'm watching these. I'm like, you know what? It's preseason for everybody. It's preseason for the broadcast as well. Is everybody still working out the kinks?
It's Bogosian, by the way. He's the best. I'm sorry,
Matt, the big closet Bogosian fan. The defense is the only thing I'd like to see be a little bit better. Again, you're playing a lot of young guys in there, and that's maybe where the Lightning are thinnest at. So not too much of a concern, but overall. Impressive.
The power play is kind of it was hit or miss for me. Again, it's
ABB
hard to put.
Scored a goal.
He did. He had some games. This is the ABB fan club podcast. Like, we all cheer for him, but honestly, I tell you what, I wasn't on that impressed with what I saw from him. Like, he did have that power play goal. He's got a wicked shot, but I'm not going to lie. From what I've seen in this preseason, I kind of understand why it's been hard for him to make the full-time transition and jump. Like, he almost seems not lost out there, but a little confused out there at some times. Like, I've yet to see him really gel with his line mates. Like, he is kind of a wanderer a little bit, and not much effort on the defensive side. And we've known that for a couple of years now, but honestly, I think Marilla may have stole his job a little bit. He was just somebody I wanted to bring up, and you brought him up. What's up, Joe?
Let's talk about that for a quick second. He was what are you saying? He was a little bit of a liability on the defensive side. Is that the way you phrased it?
Around there,
he ended up having the worst plus minus on the team. The second worst was, you know, for these four games, the second worst was a minus two. I don't see anyone that's below a minus two. And there's a few guys that had that. Like, Nick Paul is a minus two overall. ABB is the next worst with minus five.
Oh,
he was a minus five for the times that he played in those two games, minus five. So, I mean, I know people say that it's you have to use the context within the stat, but that's not looking very good. And the one goal that he scored was a power play goal. And that I really did like the way that he commanded that power play, basically took over the Kucherov spot along the right boards. That was a nice power play goal that he had, but, rolling negative five, it's not looking good, man.
There's not a spot on this team for another power play right wing specialist. Like, I think we've got, a solid power plays one and two. So, we've been defenders of him for what, like almost 2 years now, hoping that he could, crack the lineup. I don't want to say this is the final nail in the coffin. Like, he might have opportunities, but yeah, that one goal, I didn't know it was minus five. And again, you can't put a lot of stock into plus minus. It is kind of a dying stat now, but when you're minus five over two games, it is kind of telling. It is a small sample size, but at the same time, when you're, minus five in two games, it's pretty rough. When you're straying that far away from zero, like the Nick Paul stat, what, he was minus two. He's only played two games as well, I believe. That's not alarming. If you're within, five ticks to zero, it's not too bad. But over two games, that is a little worrying. I didn't know that it was that bad.
Yeah, and I think that, he definitely becomes redundant as you get Connor Sherry basically filling that role of somebody that can be on Stamkos's line in order to, be a setup guy. Connor Sherry is also not that large of a player. I'm pulling up his stats right now. He's 5'9". Comparison, actually, that's shorter than I thought he was, to be honest. Wow, ABB is actually 5'10". So, that role of playmaking smaller guy is pretty much already going to be filled, because Connor Sherry, he had a goal, two assists. He was looking pretty good playing up there. And then where does that leave ABB to play with? If we started to make fictitious lines here, you can stick them down on the third, fourth line. Even at that, I think our third line would be you know, we can play the game if you guys want, but I don't even know that our third line would look good with him. It'd be like Nick Paul, Jeannot, and Barry Boulay.
That's been the struggle for him for these years, right? Is the fact that one, he just hasn't been able to make that transition scoring wise, and then also there's never been really a clear spot for him unless somebody's been hurt. So I don't know where he'll fit into it, if he will fit into it. I think there's been some other young rookies that have been more impressive, as we kind of talked about. Groshev is another one that I've really enjoyed watching. He's had a goal in the preseason as well. Now, I don't think will play on the Lightning roster this year. I think he'll be down in the AHL just because he's one of the younger guys. But from what I've seen, both in the prospect showcase and in the one preseason game he played, I've liked him a lot too. And then just all the new bolts have kind of seemed like they fit in pretty well so far. Again, it's early in the preseason, still got a long ways to go. But Tyler Mott won one in overtime for the Lightning. Glenn Denning's been pretty decent as well. A lot of good faceoff percentages, which I'm liking that I see, because that's one spot the Lightning have struggled for a while. So again, offensively, they just look good. I don't know. Am I overreacting here? Because it's only been a couple preseason games, but it's been impressive.
No, you guys heard me rambling on, you know, early in free agency talking about Glenn Denning and how much I was a fan of his, and he is one of the best faceoff guys in the league. Like, he will be firmly planted on the fourth line, but he's going to be a guy that is matching up against, you know, top lines or second lines, something like that. He's going to be a penalty killer. He's going to be great in that role. I'm glad you also brought up Tyler Mott. He was a guy that I was going nuts over just a couple weeks ago. After the Archibald situation, signing Tyler Mott, you guys heard me. I was, you know, bouncing off the walls for that guy. And I've been impressed with what I've seen from him. Again, you know, finishing might be a bit of an issue. So I've heard from, you know, Canucks fans and such, finishing is a bit of an issue. But he's got speed. He's got grit. He's got that, like, snot mentality. Just like, you know, that kind of Mikey Acemont, Yanni Gourde style. Just, you know, full speed, you know, to the net, grinding in the corners. He's just a gritty small player like that. But I'm glad you brought him up, and I'm also glad you brought up Maxim Groshev. That was the guy that you were very high on after the prospect tournament. And no, Jake, you weren't lying. He actually did impress me, but he is a younger guy, so hopefully we can see him, probably not this year, but maybe some years to come, give him a little more time in the oven as well. But he actually was looking very good out there as well, and he's an offensive minded player as well. He might have, you know, a job on the power play in maybe a couple of years or something like that, but you know, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, I say I had four players written down that were skaters that stood out to me, and Groshev was definitely one of them. Oddly enough, you know, it's we talked about this before the show. It's kind of hard to find a compilation of stats for preseason games, and I'm looking on the one that we pulled up here from the CBS. I don't actually see Groshev on it.
He's not listed for whatever reason.
He's not. Yeah, so I can't.
Against the Predators.
Yeah. So I was going to try, you know, referencing a little bit of that stat line, but he's looking, he was looking pretty impressive as well. And maybe, you know, ABB getting sent down and just continuing to help our farm team and help guys like him grow ends up being the, you know, the role that he perpetually fills. But yeah, I mean, it was good seeing Mott go off as well.
Any of the big league guys stick out to you at all, other than like Anthony Cirelli? Brandon Hagel looked really good, but other than, I guess, Cirelli, any of the actual solid NHL guys really impress you?
They look like they were ready for playoffs to start to me. The majority of them. Like Kucherov made so many like nonchalant and questionable passes in the games. You know, he wasn't really fully present. Stamkos, you know, worked out there. He got himself an assist, right? Let me think. Yeah, he got
he drew
assist,
a penalty. So I know he did that.
And he hit like two posts, I think, as well. And just one of those games.
The power play looked like they were moving pretty well.
And I wasn't too high on the power play. I thought they looked sloppy, especially in that last game against Nashville, where a lot of the NHL guys were playing. There's still some kinks to work out, and again, the lines aren't really set, but that the power play didn't really quite sell me yet. But you know, the regular season's a completely different animal.
While we're talking about special teams, how about the special teams for the Lightning against the Preds in that first game?
Oh my goodness, how many? They had what, seven penalties in that game, and the penalty kill came through. I mean, they were great.
And weren't six of them in the third period or something like that?
There were eight penalties, and six of which were in the third period. All consecutive in the sense that there wasn't anything called against Nashville.
That is something you cannot do in the regular season. that is way too many penalties.
Yeah, six penalties for the Lightning, none for Nashville in the third period. One of them was a 5-on-3, and through all of it, the one goal was a power. They got Nashville scored one goal, which was a power play goal that, you know, with 4 minutes into the third. But other than that, they shut them down. They shut them down pretty well with the penalty kill. I thought that they did a really good job in that game. That was with Tompkins in that as well.
Pardon me, but I don't have like any of the stats available. I never come prepared. But do you guys know how many power play goals were scored throughout these four games so far?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if the shorthanded goals are at least tied with the power play goals. The penalty kill units looked far better than the power plays across these four games to me so far.
Well, according to CBS Sports, and again, this is not perfect because we mentioned Groshev's not even on this list. There are four power play goals, and there are two shorthanded. But again, take that with a grain of salt because it doesn't seem like they have everything quite up to date. But four power play goals to two shorthanded, which is I'm fine with that ratio. And I'll take it. Not too bad.
There's one power play goal in that Predators game, none in the in the Carolina game for their for them. There was none in the other Carolina game either, and then one power play goal throughout or one shorthanded. You know, where they're on the penalty kill, they allowed one goal for all four games.
The penalty kill has been impressive. And again, overall, just the Lightning, it's felt good so far. We'll see how they go against the Florida Panthers now as we move into the next set of the preseason games. I will be in attendance when they are at the Amway Center, so I'm excited for that game. Finally get to see some Lightning hockey, which is going to be fun. Joe, you were talking about... I will make sure to don't worry. I will be taking pictures for sure. You were talking about the lines earlier, Joe. I just wanted to bring up what Daily Faceoff has set right now, and they've got Stamkos, Point, Kucherov, Hagel, Sorelli, Connor, Sherry, and then Isimont, Nick Paul, and Tanner Janot.
Fire it off again.
So you got Stamkos, Point, Kucherov, which that line only is there sometimes.
Yeah,
Hagel, Sorelli, Sherry. And then Isimont, Paul, Janot. Although Sherry and Isimont were playing together along with a third player who I can't remember who it was. And then the fourth line is Tyler Mott, Luke Glendening, and they still have Logan Brown on here who is injured and will not be with the Lightning at the start of the season. So that's probably the one forward spot that is up for grabs.
That second line was Hagel, Sorelli, and who?
The second line was Sorelli and Sherry, but again, I don't think that's an actual line that will play. But out of all those players, I think Logan Brown is hurt, so there's probably one forward spot that is available for one of the guys. And then defensively, they have Hedman, Perbix, Sergachev, Cernak, and then Calvin DeHaan and Zach Bogosian. And I actually think Bogosian and Radish might switch in and out. I think Radish would probably play majority of those games. So really, we're kind of looking for one forward out of this preseason. I think that it could actually make the NHL lineup in opening night.
Mamirala. I like him, but I don't know if, like, again, any rookie is going to start on the fourth line, and maybe that's where he has to be. But from what I saw from him, he didn't really, you know, prove to me to be a fourth line player. Again, everything is different in actual, you know, major league hockey, but it's going to be a tough question. Logan Brown, though, did he get injured in one of the games? Did he even play a game, or did he start?
He has not played. It was something that happened earlier. I just remember they announced there were two guys. I'll have to go back and pull up the tweet, but they Logan Brown was one of the guys that said they would not be ready for the start of the season. I don't think there is a current timeline on his injury.
Because he's a guy that I've been quietly pretty hyped about. Like, he was drafted like 11th overall, like back in 2016. Which, you know, it was a pretty front-heavy draft, but it fell off pretty quick. Not known to be a stacked draft, but he's a guy that I still think has potential, even though it is, you know, 7-8 years down the road from, you know, from his draft year and hasn't really, you know, hit his NHL stride. He's somebody that I still do think could be an NHL serviceable player. So I honestly didn't know that he was injured before before this show. So
it was Logan Brown and Schmidt, Roman Schmidt, that were injured, and they are currently out indefinitely.
Okay.
So you think Austin Watson maybe gets a contract going down then?
Going down to the AHL?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still a little too early because we've only played 4 preseason games, and some of these guys will get more opportunities, especially the ones that the younger rookies that might get a shot. I think Watson was pretty good. He's a guy that has a chance. If you're looking at just the rookies, probably Watson and Morella are the two ones that have the best shots right now at making that opening night lineup.
So me talking about me being rusty to start, yeah, I am very rusty because I completely forgot that we signed him to a PTO. Of course, you know, watching the games, I remember, but I forgot to even bring his name up because he was a guy I don't think we really ever talked about Austin Watson signing that PTO, but he was a guy that just confused me when we did sign him and announced that he was on a PTO. I was like, this doesn't really make sense to me because he's a guy that will also be planted on the fourth line. He's been a third, fourth line guy his whole career. And, you know, I watched him in Nashville during the cup final run in Ottawa. He did not really have the greatest tenure there as well. I thought it was kind of a dumb thing to do at first, but from what I've seen in the preseason, I think he actually might have, you know, earned a contract. He might be that 13th, that 13th forward. He's probably not going to have a solid spot in the lineup, but from what I've seen in the preseason, going from this is a stupid waste of a PTO spot to he might actually end up, you know, getting a spot potentially. Of course, he scored a goal. It was a great feed from Mamarila. I think he's actually played pretty well. So I essentially, this is just me saying that I was wrong.
Yeah, if you go back to what Julian Breezeball was saying too, he wants the team to be significantly harder to play against, and you're bringing some size with him. He's 6'4", and even though he's been typically a third, fourth liner, well, maybe that's what, you know, he's looking for in the team. He completely blew up the fourth line from last year, and now let's see. I'm not going to say, you know, just throw everything at the wall, see what sticks, but broaden your options as much as possible, and if he can make it into the lineup as being a contributing member, knowing that he's playing fourth line, I think that's, you know, that's great, because missing, you know, some of the guys that we had, we lost a little bit of size, but we did have some fresh options come to the table here, and I think that's wonderful.
And I think one of the reasons why I thought it was kind of dumb initially is because we still had Josh Archibald on a contract, and he was, you know, slotted to be on that fourth line. But because he's very similar to Watson, he's a big body, he likes to fight. So
look,
I thought
the,
it was
his the experience that you get with Watson.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was kind of redundant, I guess, is the word. You know, you didn't need that many guys, but when you lose guys like Pat Maroon and Corey Perry, you know, they're not, you know, born and bred pugilist fighters, but they're still guys that like to get in there and stir the pot. Austin Watson fits that bill. So when you shed two guys like that, it's actually probably a good idea to bring a guy like that in. So again, I'm wrong times two.
And well, I mean, I wouldn't say you're wrong, you know, but I mean, give him a two way, you know, you can pull him up when he's needed. Injuries are inevitable. So you have a guy like that on reserve that, you know, has the experience of playing in the NHL for a long time. And he's not someone that will have to, take as long to get caught up to speed, I think, as guys that haven't, you know, had as long of tenure in there. And he'd be a perfect guy to, you know, be able to fill some spots, be a role player.
Another guy that was impressive, he was cut. I just found the guys that were cut. Felix Robert was decent in the games he played. So he's another guy that could have a decent season down there in the AHL and be a guy for the future. So basically my biggest takeaway from this these preseason games so far is the Lightning prospect line is not as bad as people make it out to be right now. It's weaker, obviously, than normal because we've traded away a lot of our top guys, but there's been some impressive guys that I think have some potential. We'll see how they do this year down there in the AHL. And there's one more roster spot available. We'll have to see who really steps up through these last couple of preseason games and impresses the coaches. But there's definitely a spot available. And I think, so what, Watson or Morella are probably our top two candidates for that spot right now.
That's what I'd be betting on, or Patrick Kane, but.
Yeah. Hey, so what do you guys think going, there's what, about 20 games that we said that it would likely be Vasilevskiy's out. What would you like to see out of the team? What's that?
It's around 20. I think when I counted it for two.
Let's round up to 20 because math's easier that way. What would you guys like to see the team's record, or what would you like to see it, and what are you actually expecting it to be?
I'd like to see 20-0 if I'm going to be real, but
that's not being real at all.
Well, that's what you said. What I'd like to see if I'm going to be real.
That means that he lost his job, too, by the way.
No, it'll be like a Louis Domingue thing where we score, like, you know, 7 goals a game but allow 4. So, I don't know. That is actually a pretty tough question. I maybe shouldn't have hopped in there that quick. But, you know, above 500, of course. That's what I'm expecting, and that's what I'm hoping for. But I don't want to be teetering at 500 either. I know it's a bit of a tough ask to be, you know, in that, you know, win 3, lose 1 kind of mode, but that's what you're asking of, like, Vasilevskiy. So hopefully we can be treading water. Hopefully this doesn't absolutely cripple us. But I guess what I'm going to go for, like, a 600 win percentage. So I'm not going to set the bar incredibly high, but I also do have some expectations.
13-7 is the record I will go with. I'm fairly confident. In the Lightning, I've been impressed from what I've seen so far. I could be totally wrong, and they just could be preseason luck, like we saw with one player last year who had a really great preseason that did nothing in the regular season, not naming names. But from what I've seen so far, I have no reason not to be confident. I've been impressed with the team, and I think the older NHLer guys will be ready to go. So I'm going to go 13-7. I think the Lightning can pull it off, and then they'll be even better once Andrei Vasilevskiy comes back.
And I guess I never said it, but 12-8, I guess, is what I was going for, maybe.
See, those are the same numbers that I was thinking, just kind of inverse. And usually I'm, you know, somewhat calmer, more of the optimist, but I think they're going to go 8-12. That's what I, you know, what I had hoped for is 12-8. I think if they go 12-8, that they're doing very well without the number one goalie in the world. And, you know, if they can actually do that, go 12-8, that means that they've found some different levels of puck possession and being able to maintain defensive responsibility. That would be great. But I also think there's going to be some sieves in net. Maybe not every night, and I'm not saying that the whole time, but I think there's going to be more off nights than we're used to seeing, where you're saying, Jake, what, 3 wins to 1 loss, you know, give, you know, we're you know, it's kind of inevitable to happen, but... Yeah, those injuries are something else, man.
It's certainly going to be a challenge.
We're near 2 years away from this nickname, but, you know, we were the Tampa Bay Findaways. You know, this team's got something special about them. They love to rise to the occasion, especially when they're underdogs and being betted against. Of course, like everybody, you know, me, myself included, the world was on fire when I heard Vasilevskiy was going down. And, you know, the team's tanking for whoever the – first overall pick is. Everybody's on the Bedard trade, but I don't know. I think, you know, this team can catch lightning in a bottle and be those Tampa Bay Findaways, you know, look in the face of adversity and manage a way to overcome it. So
that's great. I mean, because I was saying too, you know, them being listed as like the 5th in the division by some of the people predicting the way that it's going to turn out. That was before hearing about Vasilevskiy, how that would be great to light a fire under some of these guys to really get them motivated to prove everybody wrong and to show out and show up. And maybe this is just more adversity to see them rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. And what was the biggest complaint after the 2019 sweep? Everybody was saying that the Lightning, you know, never faced any kind of adversity. They, you know, had everything handed to them and just nothing went wrong for them, blah, blah, blah. They never faced any kind of adversity. And when the playoffs hit, everything crumbled apart. This is a little bit of taste. Of course, over an 82-game span and then, you know, a potential 26 game span or 28 game span come playoff time. This is just a little crumb of adversity that the boys are going to, you know, like you said, light a fire under their butt and maybe, you know, kick them into a new gear. Of course, it won't last forever. Of course, there's going to be some big ups and some low downs, but I'm fairly confident heading into it. I'm never going to bet against the Lightning, but I might be a little overconfident, but I'm still very, very confident with, you know, a lot of confidence.
Well, three preseason games left for the Lightning to start deciding all of these questions that we've been talking about today. All three are against the Florida Panthers, one at Amway Center, one at Amway, and then one Sunrise. I'm assuming all of those games will be streamed at the same links that they've always been streamed on. Be sure to follow us at RBL Sports, at RBL Lightning, so you can stay up to date on all of the Lightning news. And don't forget to check out the other great podcast that we got, Rays Postseason Baseball. Troptober is getting ready to kick off here momentarily against the Rangers, so good luck to the Rays as well. But that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.